hit the ground running here and start with the title of what I've looked at today during the week and during the months is that we're not in the tribulation. And if you have been tuned in or here on Sunday mornings with Pastor Tom, we're enjoying a wonderful time through Daniel, the book of Daniel, and seeing some times, events, and things that are that will happen. And this kind of ties in a little bit with that, but maybe a little different perspective. You've probably heard a lot on TV, radio, or from your friends, internet, whatever, that things are going pretty bad out there, right? Yeah, pretty bad is putting it lightly. The war in Russia and Ukraine is cited as being one of the wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24. We'll read a few verses just to set that. What else have we heard that associated with that war? Have you heard the word Armageddon? Yeah, okay, very good. And what about the COVID as being part of a tribulation pestilence and thing? That's what people have said in the past, read on social media. And some people, I'm saying this, not me, believe that the injection that you get for the COVID is the mark of the beast. But I have yet to see anyone get a shot in their forehead. So that's probably out. But many other things, the weather, the New World Order. I mean, the list can go on, and you probably know more than I do about that. But there's many things that they're saying prophecy is being fulfilled today. And we're not in prophecy, and we're going to look at some of the things that are called deception. And we want to be clear. We're Bible students. We're rightly dividing students of God's Word. And that's where we're going to go today. This is a quote from the internet. The Bible prophecies of many events that will occur in the end times, these events can be categorized as natural signs, spiritual signs, sociological signs, technological signs, political signs. We can look to what the Bible says about these things, and if the signs are present in abundance, then we can be certain that we are living in the last days. So if there is an abundance of all these things spoken of in Matthew 24, then we're living in the last days, and what they're saying is prophecy is being fulfilled today, and it is not. So the question is, I was posed a question some time back, are we in the tribulation today? And I says, I'll study through it, and I'll tell you next week. That was when one of our Bible studies. And so I should have just said no. And she never showed up again for the second Bible study. But if you didn't know much about the Bible or prophecy or scripture or salvation, why would you need to know if you were in the tribulation or not? You're going to get it one way or the other. And what good would it do you if you did know? How would you know without having some Bible knowledge or someone to help you through and tell you where you're at in Scripture, where you are, what are the possibilities of having salvation in the tribulation? So the Bible does talk about tribulation, though, right? Jeremiah 30, verse 7, and alas, for that day is great, and so that none is like it. It is even like the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Daniel also says, shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And so that's only two quick quotes from there, that the tribulation will be, and it is prophesied, and even Christ, you're in Matthew chapter 24, if not be there. And there's a Bible provided for you in the front. And in Matthew chapter 24, it says in verse 1, I'll get there myself. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so Christ was talking to them prior in Matthew 23, and some of those events he talked about, and then Matthew 24 about the temple being thrown down. And the disciples wanted to know, when is this going to happen? So they wanted to know. In verse 6, it says, And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he's giving them a sequence. He says, it's not here yet. Verse 15, Matthew 24, 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. When you see, that's an event that's going to happen that he says you're going, when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see Satan that is prophesied by Daniel, stand in the holy place, stand in the temple. Well, currently, if people out there think, or world religions or organizations or individuals think that we are going through the tribulation today, something has to happen. There has to be a temple. When and whether that's only in mid-trib or before that, if it's built. But before the temple, let's back up. Pastor Tom had a board down there with all the timing and events in there. I should have brought that up. But if we have the beginning of the trib, mid-trib, and the second coming of Christ will come to the earth. Mid-trib is when we see him stand up, and that's a temple, okay? And Satan is going to stand up in the temple in mid-trib and say, I am Christ. How long is the first half of the trib? 3.5 years. Second half, naturally, is 3.5 since it's 7 years, 1 week. And so the temple needs to be built in mid-trib. So let's go to mid-trib first, and let's look backwards. Rather than trying to come into it from here, whereas the rapture of the church would have been over here, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, would have been before trib, so I believe the Bible teaches that we are pre-tribulational rapture of the church, taken away before that awful day, as we say. And so there needs to be a temple built. Anyone here, current events now, listening to the news, radio, internet, whatever, have heard about the red heifer? Yes. Anyone? Hands. Okay, so there's few, it's mixed. But the significance, turn back to, we're going to probably go back to Matthew shortly. Hold your place there. Turn back to Numbers chapter 19. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, number 19. When we're studying the temple, we're studying where Satan will stand up and say, I am God. Remember he said, in Isaiah 14, he says, I will be like the Most High. That's his goal. He wants worship. And Numbers 19, and so to gain worship, he has to deceive people into being, into that he is God or he is Christ. And so everything that Christ was going to do to prove that he is God, that proved that he has been prophesied and it speaks of him, then Satan is going to need to get in line with what Christ was going to do and do that out of timing, out of dispensational timing. And he's going to deceive, and we'll see the thing. So this is what has to happen. Before that temple is built, that red heifer now has to come into effect, into play. Chapter 19, 1, I'm going to read down to verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, and he may bring her forth without the camp, and one will slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, and her skin, and her flesh, and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. So in order for the temple's not built there, there's something there called the Dome of the Rock that is not Jewish. And so before the temple can be built, I don't know what's going to happen to the Dome of the Rock, whether Satan will say, well, let's just shake hands and let's be buddies. Let's all just be one. Fat chance, huh? But I don't know what's going to happen there. Forget that for a minute. Before Israel, or the people who are of Jewish heritage, or what's that word I'm looking for? Orthodox. Before that temple can be built, there has to be a red heifer killed by a priest outside the camp of Jerusalem, and it has to be burned in a certain way, and then the ashes are taken outside the camp. And the ashes, they take ashes and they add water to the ashes in a container of some kind. I'm not sure exactly how that's done. But they take some of that water, and I suppose the water is either sprinkled or poured over top of the person who needs to be purified. If anyone touches anything dead, it has to be purified before they can go in, even to the Temple Mount, to start construction. So even the priest who killed the animal has to have the water on him or somehow applied to him before he can even consecrate that temple site, and then they can start building. How many years do they have to build? 3.5 years. When Christ was there, he said to the disciples, or not to the Pharisees, he says, in 3 days I will rebuild this temple. And they said it was 46 years to build the temple. So let's come up modern day, and maybe it would take 4 or 5 years to rebuild it. I don't know how long it would take to reconstruct that. They have the tools. They have all the silverware, the gold, everything that they need to do a sacrifice. They have the priest's garments. Everything's ready. And they have everything stored. All they need now is the temple. They pray every day to have that temple restored and what would go along with the temple. Their king, their Messiah. By the way, since Moses' day, there have been 9 red heifers killed, and this water of purification has been utilized in purification for sin. It was a ritual provided by God. So if you were Satan, or if you were thinking like Satan, a deceiver, oh, let's do this again, and let's purify a temple, but let's put our own man in the temple. Almost political, right? So, let's say they have the red heifer. There is a quote that I forgot to bring with me, and a certain rabbi, and he says, when the 10th red heifer shows up, the Messiah will show up. This is common. This is news. This is not something from ancient. This is news. This is from September 15th this year, 5 red heifers came in from Texas. Now, what they do, the Jews of this nature, they have something called a Talmud. And the Talmud goes over and above what Scripture does with their own traditions and laws. So the Bible said the red heifer had to be never yoked, so it was never used in plowing a field, without spot, no blemish, and that was the only qualifications. And I'm going to miss some of them, but the qualifications in the Talmud, it has to be completely red. This is a red female cow. Of course, a cow is female, right? And if it has more than one hair that is not red, it's disqualified. In searching this out, I did some almost extensive study, and I come across Jewish websites. Websites? And there's rabbis with magnifying glasses scouring this cow to make sure that it only has one or none red hairs. Wow. It's not in Scripture. It's extra. Then the hoofs have to be red. A bird, if a bird ever landed on that cow, is disqualified. How would anyone ever know? If it was ever covered over with a blanket, it was disqualified. And so they add many different rituals in their regular thinking, let alone here's something that is dragging people into the tribulation or into the second coming of Christ, or what they say is their Messiah, is the next thing. They see if this 10th cow, 9 have come through history already, and this 10th cow that they find, if they find it, then that means that's ushering in the Messiah. He's going to be here. That's total deception, right? But the guy that sacrifices that cow has to be a priest, and I suppose he'd be the high priest. And that would be someone who comes in as the Antichrist. And whether he comes in at the beginning of the tribulation or mid-trib, we know that he stands in the temple in mid-trib, but we don't know exactly when he's going to be revealed. We're going to take a look at some of that. Turn back to Matthew, please, where you're holding your place. Matthew 24. Get this in order. Yep. Okay. Matthew 24:16. It says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. The disciples ask Christ, when's this going to happen? And he says, after these certain events, he says, when you see this happen, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, then let him that in Judea flee to the mountains. The Antichrist is not coming to Detroit. And he doesn't say flee to Toledo. There is the headquarters that he is going to be in Jerusalem, in that temple. This is not just an arbitrary thing that he is a... he's going to be a real entity that's going to stand in... Man, that's scary, huh? And he's going to deceive the people. We don't want to be deceived, do we? Nope. Matthew 24:21. Christ telling the disciples, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Deception. You know what? The body of Christ is not in view in Matthew 24, 24 or Matthew or any of the Gospels. We're not until the Apostle Paul in the, from the book of Romans on. But they shall deceive the great signs and wonders to deceive the very elect. So what can Satan do to deceive people? I'm going to jump forward to a verse in on this page here. Here it is. And we'll get to it. But I want it. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. All power and signs and lying wonders. Until then, I'm going to it says there in Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God kept it a secret. Mark chapter 13 says this. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. He didn't even have knowledge. It says, knoweth no man, not the angels. Only the Father knows when that second coming is. And so the timing was not important. For Christ to say it's not important where the time is, when the end is, God decided in his great wisdom to keep it a secret. Just as he kept the Apostle Paul in the dispensation of grace, he kept that a secret. In his great manifold wisdom, he didn't tell anyone prior to the Apostle Paul. It was hid in God, as the Bible says. Just as the beginning of the dispensation of grace, when the Apostle Paul started, the dispensation of grace would have started. God called down to Paul, says, Paul, I want you to tell people that they can be saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This was never known before. Abraham, David, all Moses, all those people didn't know. God kept it secret in himself, and he's keeping this secret too, the rapture of the church. One thing I do not want to know is when I'm going to die. I'm prepared. And we should be prepared. You know, if I knew I was going to die in the next 5 minutes, what would I do? Man. I don't know, maybe go get a good steak. Tell everyone, stand on the housetop and shout down. What would you do in the last 5 minutes of your life if you knew it was coming? Just be ready. Just do that all your life, and you'll be ready. Do what God has to say. Get in line with what he has to say, and do that. Let no man deceive you. Watch how this works. Come with me to Matthew 24:4. Look up there. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. For there are, verse 24, we've read that, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then Paul goes up in Thessalonians and he says, let no man deceive you by any means. Speaking of the same event, the word deception comes in multitude, many times is the word. The word just keeps showing up when you're talking about this time in here. You think Satan's trying to do something? Satan does his best work. That's his, what can I call it? His spiritual warfare. And what do we need when we see the spiritual warfare? We need the armor, don't we? Okay. I'm glad you said that. 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5. In verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, a thief doesn't announce, tomorrow night I'm going to be breaking into your garage and I'm going to steal your car and your whatever. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I hope you're ready. For when they, that's the unbelievers that were deceived by the Antichrist, when they say peace and safety, you know anyone out there that says, oh man, we've got a great leader here, now everything's going to be just fine. Peace and safety. We're going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's not the good guys. That's not the believer. That's the unbelievers. Verse 4. But ye brethren are the saved, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not overtaken. He doesn't come upon you as a thief. You can't do that. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate, oh, there's our armor, of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We have that armor to keep us from being overtaken. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. Put that in your memory banks. And Romans 5, 9. We'll get to it. Put that up there also. 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not overtaken, we're not appointed to wrath. And that's God's wrath, the tribulation time. The time, we'll read some of the verses, the day of God's wrath. 5:9. Verse 10. Who died for us, speaking of Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him, whether we wake or sleep. We should live together with him. Some people think and believe that we believers will go through the first half of the trib anyhow. And whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Where is him? Speaking of Christ. In glory? Is Christ going through the trib? Are you in Christ? Thank you. Class dismissed. Not yet. God has not appointed us to wrath. If the believer is going through the trib, so is Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll try to get through this quickly here. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't be shaken, don't be troubled by word or letter, that the day of Christ is at hand, because you're not going through it. The people that are saying that all this, man, look at this world and all this global world order and everything that's happening. The weather's getting worse. And they're shaken and they're troubled. But God, the word of God says, don't be shaken. Verse 3 says, let no man what? Deceive you by any means, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The falling away is falling away from the truth. I believe that's the body of Christ. Not knowing and understanding where they stand, or if they, how they believe, they can't share. How many people out there today can share a true gospel? Christ died for our sins, huh? No, the simplicity of Christ is being lost, and I believe there's a falling away in that respect. Enough said there. That the man of sin be what? Revealed. So who's going to be revealed? The man of sin, right? Is he a good guy or bad guy? He's a bad guy. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Showing himself, he's revealing himself. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Who's being revealed? Good guy or bad guy? Bad guy. Let's call him Satan, okay? All right. That he's the one that's being revealed. Who's withholding? Who's withholding? Body of Christ. Body of Christ. And as I trust Christ died on the cross for my sin, I'm sealed with the Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And that is what is withholding Satan from doing everything that he wants to do on this planet so that he can be worshipped as God. He's being held back. To better understand that, I'm going to go and talk. Don't turn there, but in Job. Job says, you put a hedge about him, about Job. But put forth thy hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. God Almighty gave Satan the power, the authority, the liberty, and he withheld him, though, from hurting. Don't hurt him. Don't touch his flesh. The second time, the Lord said, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. He gave him all power to take his children away, his riches away, the cattle, the sheep, everything else is taken away. And his health was gone. He didn't kill him, though, because God says you can't kill him. He didn't give him that power. In the tribulation, Satan has all power. There is nothing to withhold anymore. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lets, that's the Holy Spirit, will let until he, the body of Christ, be taken away. Be taken away. The body of Christ is taken away, and then he's going to be revealed. Timing is not so important right here because God kept it a secret. If he thought it was important for us to know, he'd say in 19 or in 20, we're in the 20s, right? 20 in 2023 at January 1st at 7 o'clock in the morning, this is going to happen. Someone on the internet's going to put that all over the place. Watch it. I didn't say that. But it says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. He's the one being revealed. The Holy Spirit is the one that's withholding him from doing whatever he wants, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 17, you're in 2 Thessalonians, right? Me too. And for this verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Satan says, I am Jesus Christ. He's going to stand up and they're going to believe him because of the signs and wonders. How long did I say it was going to take to build a temple? I didn't, did I? Could Satan bring a temple down from heaven, pre-made? He's got all power. Isn't Christ going to take, at the end of the trib, isn't he going to take New Jerusalem and bring it down from heaven? Watch this, guys. Watch what I can do. All signs and lying wonders. Verse 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Comfort is not, oh, comfort yourself because you're going to go through the trib, right? That's no comfort in that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Romans chapter 5, just read that. You're pretty well set. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ already bore the sins, our sins, upon the cross. I'm almost done. Bore our sins upon the cross and paid for all sins. And he suffered and died for sin. The tribulation is punishment for sin, for unbelief. Jesus Christ is not going to go through that, and we're in Christ. And all the things, we are not appointed unto wrath. I didn't read all the verses in Revelation that talks about the fierceness of God's wrath. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anyone see that. And let's wrap that up. We're not in the trib. Father, we're thankful that we're not going through that, and we're not going to go through that. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins at Calvary. And he suffered. He took that for us. And we'll be ever thankful for that. And if there's someone listening right now that never made that decision or believed that Christ died for our sins, they might do that right now. And it's in Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.